A year ago today, the ground in Mexico City started to shake violently. It was a strong 7.1 magnitude earthquake.
Right now, we do have reports of smoke coming from buildings. We have reports of buildings having collapsed.
Almost 400 people died. Many more were injured. But the disaster resonated for another reason as well.
This quake comes on the anniversary of the 1985 quake, which was a magnitude 8.1. That quake killed almost 10,000 people.
It's a cruel coincidence that reporter Daniel Hernandez has been talking about with a particular group of survivors from the 2017 earthquake, Californians who were in Mexico City that day. Many of them stayed on after the quake, and some have decided to live there permanently. Daniel's editor of the news site LA Taco. Welcome back.
Hi.
So, Daniel, even now, the fact that last year's earthquake hit on the anniversary of the 1985 quake still seems so almost impossible and incredibly sad. It makes this a double anniversary.
Yeah, for years in Mexico, since 1985 in Mexico City, there is an earthquake drill that occurs on September 19th on the anniversary.
Oh, my.
And it occurs at every school, every hospital, every office tower. I'm talking a sort of a massive public drill to remind people of the tragedy of 1985. So last year, on September 19th, that very anniversary, also a Tuesday, mind you, the drill happened. And who would have thought that on that same anniversary, another massive earthquake would hit and another massive earthquake that would have the kinds of effects that it had on such a large scale in 1985. And this is the voice of Roberto Owens. Roberto is an East Coast-born guy. His dad is from Mexico City. He's a father of two, and this is what he had to say about that morning 1 year ago today.
Because it was the anniversary of the big 85 earthquake, you know, everyone is going around that day with earthquake on the mind. This is an earthquake day, you know? And for it to have happened, like this huge violent earthquake on that day, to me is like mind-blowing. I'd like to talk to a statistician about, like, what is the probability in numbers, like, that this would happen on the same day 32 years later? And so, yeah, I was prepared, you know, to do whatever, you know, to be there with the rest of the parents who would, I'm sure, be equally as distraught, you know, digging at the, you know, chunks of concrete with their bare hands to find their children.
Oh, my.
That day, he had just dropped off his daughter at school, and he had heard that a school had collapsed in southern Mexico City.
How terrifying.
So he's racing through the city to try to get to a school, and he's thinking in his mind, you know, what if the school is down? Luckily, his daughter's school was safe. His family was safe.
It's not just Roberto. About a month after the 2017 earthquake, you went to Mexico City and talked with other people like him. Americans, people with roots here and roots there who experienced the earthquake. What were you trying to find out? What were you interested in learning about?
Well, I'd spent so many years myself living and working in Mexico City. In the back of my mind, I was always been kind of preparing for the day, the big one down there, that another one might hit in the magnitude of 1985, in which thousands and thousands of people died.
Mm-hmm.
And here it was happening before my eyes, and I'm sitting here in L.A., and the shock that many people here felt in L.A. was greater, I think, than we had ever felt with any other catastrophe, I think, that we'd seen in our lifetime, except maybe 9/11 or something like that. For many of us, it was that much of a shock to see buildings collapse after a place like Mexico that is so sort of earthquake-hardened and has done so much at the government and at the regulatory level to be prepared and to retrofit buildings and to build safely. In this case, 40-some buildings fell, not several hundreds, as it had more than 30 years ago. I wanted to meet and understand the experiences of people who chose Mexico. And I think it really tested, but then also confirmed the reasons for many people moving there. And one of the individuals I spoke with was Ebony Bailey. Ebony Bailey is a young woman from Porterville in the Central Valley. She's half Black. She's half Mexican. She refers to herself as Blaxican. She says that she really identifies with Mexican culture. And she actually had relatives who survived 1985. And so when we sat down and talked about this, this is how she remembered how the news was spreading among her family.
When I finally got Wi-Fi, my mom, I got like a bunch of messages from my mom, like, where are you? Are you okay? Blah, blah, blah. From my aunt saying, my aunt was here visiting during the 85 earthquake. And she was like, oh, I know how you feel right now. I can't believe it happened on the same exact day. She was thinking about writing me that same day, too, like in the morning, being like, I was there where you are now.
That's just amazing. So you're basically saying this is an experience that members of the same family are sharing, right. You know, Ebony and her aunt.
1985 was a pivotal moment for so many families and for so many people who have that historical memory. I was just a kid and I remember my mom in the living room crying for days and days and days watching the dispatches come out on TV. It also had ramifications politically. The country veered to the left after that because the government of Mexico was so ineffective in its response and declined aid from the United States for several days. And so that moment really rings in the hearts and brains of a lot of people. And so for it to repeat in this way, and now we are still in reconstruction phase in Mexico. And when I was there, when I was living there all those years, many buildings and many lots were still empty and still damaged from 1985.
Someone you talked to for whom this experience was really kind of seminal in some ways was a woman named Wendy Aguilar. What was she doing there and how did it affect her?
Wendy Aguilar, her parents, she's from Orange County. Her parents and her grandparents are both from Mexico City. They thought, like my parents did initially, that she was crazy for moving to Mexico. And the minute the
Why would you give up Southern California?
Exactly. Yes. And so the minute the quake happened, she tells me that her father was literally demanding her to get on a plane that day. And she actually had a plane ticket for that week, and she was going to come back. And Wendy decided to stay. She wanted to volunteer at these sites. And this is what she had to say about that experience.
I didn't feel like it was the correct thing to do to leave at that moment when there was so much that still needs to be done here. I don't know. It just, for me, California is no longer home. For me, home is the city. This is, you know, where I live. This is where I'm happy, and this is my home.
You know, it's interesting. It sort of seems like these three people you talked to, Roberto, Ebony, Wendy, they're emblematic of a bigger trend of people who are feeling connections both sides of the border, where in some ways, you know, they feel equally at home or maybe even more so at home in both the United States and Mexico.
I really remember that sentiment myself when I left at the end of 2007, and I thought, oh, I felt I can breathe. I felt, what a relief. I thought the Bush years were the height of the worst that we could have in our country, you know, naively, I guess. But I think for a lot of us who sort of like choose to go, you know, live in Korea or go and spend a couple years, you know, somewhere else, many of us just kind of end up staying. And I sort of love that. And I appreciate that privilege of mobility that we have. And I think it sort of goes directly against the kind of very divisive discourse that we have between these two countries often.
An even bigger sense of community, a very international sense of community.
Yeah, here in LA, they were organizing fundraisers. People were doing very grassroots fundraising, trying to send supplies and money. There was an outpouring of support on the global level. I think it's a reminder that we still have a capacity to, you know, love thy neighbor, I guess, and sort of be good neighbors to one another as nations and in the way that we sort of interact on a day-to-day basis within ourselves and in our own communities.
Daniel Hernandez with LA Taco, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.